Well, here we are. The first inaugural Give Me the Driver podcast. You guys are all welcome.
Good evening.
Dilly is sitting across from me. I'm Lou. We are a man down this evening, though. The third member of our threesome, unfortunately, couldn't make it this evening, so he is missing out on the inaugural show. So we'll fill him in on a later time where he can listen and realize how much the greatness he missed out on. So, Dilly, you want to kind of give us a little background on who we are?
Yeah, real quick. We are three gentlemen based out of Utah. The three of us had the pleasure of working together at a prior job, and that's what really got us going on this account. And can't tell you how grateful we are for the support. We've had a lot of fun over the course of the last year, year and a half doing this. All three of us are from the same area locally and enjoy golf, obviously, quite a bit. So I don't know if there's much more to that.
I think it's been fun to see the followers, I think, interact on the page. So really, the page was dedicated to cover kind of the stereotypical antics that go on a golf course. And I'm a 7 handicap, so I'm nothing to write home about, and I can probably be included in probably 99.9% of these videos. But it's fun to see the videos that we put out and see the reaction that we get from you, and definitely the commentating back and forth between everybody is really fun. And I think that's been the best part about the page. We're really super thankful that you guys gave us kind of the feedback on to start a podcast, and we want to make it as interactive with you as possible. We want you to have input on kind of the topics you want to talk about, whether if it's anything to do with professional golf or with just things that happen in, you know, the daily golfing world, you know, with amateurs and things like that. So we obviously want your input on essentially what you want us to talk about. But it's been fun. The page is growing, and it's like Dilly said, we're really thankful for all our supporters that have kind of jumped on it and rode the train with us. But really, to kick this off this week, I think the biggest thing that everybody wants to know and is talking about is Tiger's return. I think you and I talked a little bit about his return at the Hero. He tied ninth there. Played okay at the Farmers, I think. He tied 23rd. But I guess my question to you, Dilly, is what are realistic expectations for Tiger? Like, what are the realistic expectations for him this year?
It's a good question. And, you know, the more that I watch Tiger play, especially later in his career, I grew up watching Tiger, really starting with that 97 Masters, and I was drawn right in. And over the years, it's been kind of frustrating, obviously, the last 10 years or so. But I'm excited about this comeback simply because he seems like he's healthier than he's been at any point during the last 10 years. And I think that's going to make a big difference. I think he can finally put in the time and practice and hit balls and do all the things that he needs to do to get back to at least a shadow of his former self. I don't think we're ever going to see him dominate with the players that we have in the game today and with where he's at in his career. But realistic expectations, I honestly expect him to win again. I don't know if that's going to be this year or not, but he needs to figure out a few things, obviously, with his swing. He's just way too errant off the tee right now.
So that's the thing I was going to ask you, because you don't talk about this, but you've played college golf, so you know the in and outs of the golf swing. And I can tell you that I come over the top and I push everything out of bounds. It's pretty easy to just, you know, describe my swing. But what do you see that's really different from him? What stands out to you about his golf swing, maybe from when he was working with Sean Foley, when he was working with Chris Comeade, and now he's just kind of flying solo?
Yeah, you know, for me, I don't know that I notice anything specific looking at his swing. One of the things that I would say about...
He seems more upright to me.
And he may be. I haven't looked at a side-by-side analysis, but he's definitely going after it a lot more than he seemed to be in the last 5-6 years. At the Hero and then at the Farmers, I mean, there were some swings. He took a mighty lash, and, you know, he was hitting it past some of the younger guys.
Because he had the great year in 2013.
He was player
of the year in 2013. And then he was kind of like Blackberry. He just phased out, or he just he just kind of disappeared from the scene. And I've always, I'm a huge Phil fan, you know that. I'd mother Phil's children if I could, but I've always been a fan of Tiger, and I think golf needs Tiger. But there's always the thing in the back of my mind that, when's his next withdrawal coming? Because we've seen it for 4 or 5 years now where he gets off to this hot start, he's had great, you know, starts to years, and then bang, a tweak, his glutes aren't firing or whatever it may be, and we don't see him for a year. So are you buying the stock that Tiger is fully healthy? In my opinion, I think he is. I think he is healthy. But are you buying this? Are you buying the TW stock?
I mean, as far as you can be healthy with a fused back, right? I mean, that's a little bit of a limitation. But, I mean, he's talked about it, and I think he's said he's healthy before, and he's gone back in for more surgeries. But really, you know, in tournaments past with his comebacks, I was really, every swing he took, I was kind of grimacing, waiting.
I agree.
For that moment.
Yep.
And I've been like that watching the hero. I've been like that watching the farmers. I didn't get to watch his round today, and this is as of Thursday night, by the way.
He's plus one right now.
Right. So, you know, it's always in the back of my mind, though. When's it going to happen? I don't know.
I agree.
You know, hopefully it doesn't, but...
I think my expectations for... I'm with you. I think Tiger wins. I think he makes 2 of 4 cuts at the majors this year. I think he makes the cut at the Masters, just because I think he knows...
Loves that course.
He knows Augusta like it. Well, I won't go into that, but he knows Augusta so well.
Does he win another major in his career?
Well, I think he makes the cut at Augusta, and I think he makes the cut at the... For whatever reason, he just plays well at the British Open.
Well, he's a grinder. I mean, look at his round today. He was, what, seven greens, I know.
Yeah. The U.S. Open this year is at Shinnecock, right?
I believe so.
It was at Erin Hills last year, Shinnecock this year. I don't know where the British is this year. The PGA, I believe...
I think it's at Carnoustie for the British.
Okay. I don't know where the PGA is this year, but I think he makes the cut at the Masters, and I think he makes the cut at the British. I think the U.S. Open is just a... It's brutal for... Unless you're talking last year, where everybody kind of just dismantled Erin Hills.
Yeah.
I don't think it was really a true...
Setup.
A true U.S. Open setup. So... I think if he makes the cut at 4 majors, I think that's a remarkable year for him. He hasn't played competition golf in a year, almost a year and a half.
I mean, it's a big deal, and you know, for people that don't maybe play in tournaments or only play once in a while, even at the amateur level, there's a lot of jitters. You know, first tee, you tend to calm down in the round easy.
The Saturday morning round for me, that is jitters.
So, you know, for him coming back...
I'm putting it off the maintenance shed.
The expectations, you know, that not only that the media and that we all have for him, but the expectations that he puts on himself, I think is... I can't imagine playing with that pressure and trying to come back and win again. It's got to be tough.
You alluded to it, though, with... You said he's not going to be dominant as he was maybe going up against the Hal Suttons, the Steve Strickers, the Vijay Singhs, but... You and I talked a few weeks ago. It's not like Vijay was, you know, Al Chervik. I mean, this guy, he won how many times in... It was like nine times in 2001?
Yeah.
So my question is to you then, with Ricky, with JT, with Spieth, DJ, all the others, you know, Jason Day, who just won, my guy Ted Potter Jr., my guess is does golf need Tiger still, or is there a lot of young superstars that can kind of take it from here? I, for one, I think golf needs him.
I agree with you. You know, you look at ratings alone. You know, when he's on, well, granted they show every shot of his, but that's what people want to see, hoping to see, I think, a glimpse of the former Tiger.
Well, I think Phil alluded to it, you know, it was last year at the Masters where they said he had mentioned something. We should all thank Tiger for the massive purses that are being given out at golf tournaments.
Yeah.
So I do. I think there's a draw to Tiger. You also, I think, I don't know how I can say this without not being, well, it's, I'm not saying anything bad, but I think it's a big draw for the African-American community too, because I don't think there's a ton of African-Americans that are playing golf right now.
Well, at least not in Utah, right? We lack a little bit of diversity here, but I agree with you, though. I think culturally it's a good thing.
I do, too. I think it's a great thing. Yeah. I think, selfishly, I want Tiger to be Tiger again. It's like you said, I don't think, maybe health-wise, he can't get back there, but I think just the draw himself, I think he's, there's no cons for having Tiger Woods like on tour. Like, it's just...
No, it's good for the game, I think.
But were you surprised that he didn't play in the AT&T Pro-Am? I kind of was.
I didn't know what to expect, honestly. His schedule's always, you know, so limited before the Masters, but I think he needs to get in as many reps as he can before Augusta, you know, in tournament conditions. But at the same time, I know he mentioned in his presser on Tuesday that he would play in the Honda next week if, you know, he's not sore. I think that's the main thing. I think he's just trying to get through a couple weeks of tournament golf and feel good, back to where he knows he can go out and grind week after week. And
I would think the Pro-Am would be one of the more difficult tournaments to play in, just because you're playing with two amateurs, the pace of play is not very good.
Yeah.
But I also think there's the venue, though. I mean, you're playing at Spyglass, Pebble Beach,
Monterey Peninsula.
Like, I don't know if there's a better... I don't think there's a better three courses in the world that you could play 3 days in a row and just basically say, all right, the hell with it. If I miss the cut, so be it. I just played three of the top 100 courses in the world. However...
Well, and it's easy to say that for us, right? But these guys, week in, week out, they're playing these awesome courses that when they come for these tournaments, they're in tip-top shape. Now, with that being said, I will say that I think, personally, that the Peninsula out there has the best golf in the world.
I told my wife, if I ever came into a large sum of money, or if she somehow got away with murder and she got the settlement of life insurance for me, that she should move to the 17-mile drive. I don't think there's a piece of land... I'm trying to think of all the other places that I would live in this world, and I don't think there's one that I could top with 17-mile drive. Just because you have... You and I were there last August for very good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if there's a better stretch of land to, like, live on. I mean, you have Pebble Beach, you have Monterey Peninsula, you have Spyglass, you have Spanish Bay, you have Cypress Point, which we were privileged enough to go and play, but there's just not a better stretch of land, I don't think.
Yeah. So what's the... What would you pay to go play out there? Those three courses that they play at the Pro-Am, what's the price tag that you feel like would be good enough value in it that you'd do it?
I think, and this is something that I guess I would like to ask maybe some of the people that follow us, those that have done the Monterey trip and those that have done the Pebble Beach, Spyglass. Obviously, Monterey is private. It's really hard to get on. If you find a way to get on it, so be it, but... my guess is the courses that are being played out there are Pebble, Spanish Bay, and Spyglass. So I don't know. I've looked at some of the when I was watching the Pro-Am, I got on and I looked at some of the packages, and they have like winter packages that were anywhere from $1,400 to $1,900. Most of them are two rounds of golf, two nice days. So could I justify it? Yeah, I could easily. Would my wife like it? No, she wouldn't. But for me, I mean, we've played out on the peninsula before. I mean, it's just, there's something, we play a lot of mountain golf here. We play a lot of tree line courses. You know, you've played, like, for example, like Victory Ranch, you've played that. That's a different atmosphere itself up in Park City.
Yep.
Playing golf on the peninsula is just a different feel. Would you not agree?
It is, for sure. There's just something about it. I can't even put my finger on what it is. It's obviously, the scenery is unbelievable. All those courses are in such good shape. It's just a little bit of a nice break from the typical golf that we get here, at least in Utah. So,
and the same, and you know, and going back, you know, when I played Scottsdale in December, you know, you talk about all these course pros that play these courses that are in pristine condition. Scottsdale was the same way in the last week of December. It was flawless. I mean, perfect. But I'm not a huge desert target golf fan. Maybe it's just because I can't hit a driver and I shank 56 degree wedges and I don't drink, and so there's nothing that gets me into the, or that gets me quicker through the round. So, but I agree with you. I think if people are able to afford being able to go play Peninsula Golf, I think that you have to. I do want to go play Pebble Beach someday. I do want to play Spy. If I had to play two courses out there, I'd obviously play Pebble Beach and Spyglass. I've heard Spanish Bay is great, but those are the two courses I'm going to play. And by the way, Paso Tiempo is right up the road, and that is probably, I don't know if I'd call it a hidden gem, but it's probably one of the favorite courses I've ever played.
It's worth it. Especially considering it's an Alistair McKenzie design, right?
Yep.
I mean, you can't beat it.
Six fairway, I put one in his backyard. It was awesome. I bet he was just rolling over in his grave. But I think the Pro-Am, I don't know if there was a better story than Potter, though. Was there? I mean, the guy, he wins the Greenbrier.
How long ago was that?
I think it was 2012.
Was it? So 6 years ago? And he's been a journeyman on tour for a lot of years.
The guy, Joe Theismann's his ankle. He's out of golf. He goes back to the web.com. He was at the Utah Open last year.
Yep.
And now he goes, and we're not talking, he's not beating, you know, slouches. He held off Phil. He held off Jason Day. He held off
DJ on Sunday. Yeah.
We're not talking these, you know, journeyman pros. He held off legit a couple Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of the more remarkable stories that I think I've ever, I mean, it's incredible the journey that this guy's been on. And I think the best part about it was when he did the interview on the 18th green, you could just tell emotionally he was just
raw emotion.
He was like, I'm really standing here right now. And yeah. I think that was the best part about him, is he wasn't just some, you know, cocky SOB that was like, I've been here before, I knew what I was going to do, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
He was just like, hey, I knew if I played good down the stretch, I could win. And he's like, this is pretty incredible that I'm standing here. Like, to me, that was just one of the more eye-opening, I think, experience, or one of the eye-opening tournaments that I think I've seen in a long time, in my opinion.
Well, and it's kind of fun to see someone, you know, who's struggled up and down for so long come through on a big stage like that. And granted, it's not a major or anything like that, but like you mentioned, holding off some of those big names, it's amazing. And for me, you know, the part that really touched me in his interview when he was talking about kind of what that means for him, like he's getting back into the Masters. He's got, you know, exemption on tour now for next year at least, or maybe longer.
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And so it really is, you know, I don't want to say life-changing because he's been golfing for a living for so long. But
the financial stability.
The freedom that he must feel now to, like, go out and just play his game and not be so concerned about week-to-week results has got to be.
Can we talk about Ches Reavy too? Like, is this guy like Ches Reavy was? He probably should have won the Waste Management. Here he is again the following week. I don't know what he shot today, but
is he the one? I saw a stat. His last 17 rounds or something.
Yes,
What was it? Do you have?
It was like his last 17 of 19 rounds have been below 70 or something like that.
That's an awesome stretch.
The guy legit hits it maybe 250 off the tee, 260, but he's just a flawless.
It's like Fred Funk.
Oh, the Funkster. He hits a 2 yard draw off the tee every single time. It's like, but it goes to show you these guys that aren't deep on tour. It's like, hey, there's still hope for guys like me that, you know, hit a 7 iron 120. So, yeah. I think, but the one other guy that I did want to talk about though is Phil. So Phil's been MIA for 5 years. 5 years. It'll be 5 years in July since he won the British. Think about that. Like, that's five years ago that he won the British. He was close last year to winning. He goes tied sixth at TPC Scottsdale. He's in the running again last week. My question is Phil... Obviously, he's 47. He's past his prime.
Right.
But we always hear him talk about, I'm playing the best golf, I'm hitting it well, He's exercising twice a day for a 47-year-old.
He's beating me.
The only exercise I'm doing is the PS4 controller. But is he good enough to win?
Absolutely. I mean, he's proven that for 25 years, right? I mean, the guy's won 40 tournaments, 41 tournaments, 41. Something like that. He's good enough for sure. It's just, for me, with Phil, it's can he put four rounds together?
I agree with that.
He'll go low, and then he usually has a round where a couple holes hurt him. And he does seem a little bit more up and down lately than he has earlier in his career as far as just birdie, bogey.
Except mine's par, double, par, double, double, par, double.
But yeah, I get it. With Phil, I mean, he could win this week, and it wouldn't shock me at all.
No, right? I agree.
I do think he'll win this year.
I can't ask him because he's not responded to any one of my letters. But anyways, the thing that I would love to ask Phil is his difference in age from, well, let's just say even from like 40 to 45 or even 35 to 45 to where he is now, is it hard for him to play four rounds of golf in 4 days? And you got to figure he probably gets there Monday to practice. He practices Monday. He probably plays nine hole Monday, nine holes Tuesday, maybe another nine holes Wednesday. So he's played
or a pro-am, yeah. Sometimes 18, right?
So he's played 36 holes already before he even fires a drive off the tee for the tournament. My question is this, and he's got the arthritis issue
it's not stopping him from giving thumbs up though.
I agree. Oh, the twinkle in his eye. Anyways, but I think with him, can he put energies and physically, can he put four rounds together? Because I think there's times where I've seen him and he just looks tired.
Yeah, I'm sure it's an issue week to week. I mean, you got to think the week that he's getting up the most for, 2 weeks, I think, is the Masters and the U.S. Open. He wants the U.S. Open so badly, and I want it for him so badly. He's had so many close calls.
That Marion U.S. Open, I still
hate Rose for that.
I still get night sweats from that.
Yep.
I shouldn't take it as hard, but I didn't get out of bed for, I don't know how Phil felt, but I didn't get out of bed for 3 days.
Yeah, that was a...
The Marion U.S. Open is something that I'll never... Now, if he wins at Shinnecock, remember when he three-putted from like 6 feet and Gagne, Retief Goosen, won his second U.S. Open. Whatever, that's such bogus. But anyways, I think if he wins it at Shinnecock, I think that is like... I think that's the pinnacle of his career. It is. I mean, I never thought he'd win the British, and he did. I mean, that was probably the best final round I've ever seen.
That battle with Stenson. I'm talking just a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
That battle with Stenson was one of the best British Open finishes I've ever seen. But the whole Sunday round was just incredible.
But back to the Monterey golf thing, the golf package. If you can't... Because $1,400 to $1,900, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of money for two rounds of golf. That's not counting flight, renting a car, going. So my question is, if you can't, what could you play? You've been to Sawgrass. You've been to the Players.
Mm-hmm.
Is Sawgrass worth the five bills that it is to play? Because you're gonna, for us, it's more expensive to get on a flight, go to Orlando, or go to Jacksonville, drive to Ponte Vedra Beach. You know, we're probably $400 for flights. That's not counting, stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know. If I lived locally, I'd probably go try to play it once. Having been to the Players now, that course has so many great golf holes that you don't see on
TV. I cannot even imagine. I
mean, you get your obvious fill of 16, 17, and 18 quite a bit. And you get occasional shots from, other holes throughout the course. But, there's some great, great golf holes on that course that you just never even see on TV.
The 17 green at Sawgrass, is that bigger than you think or is it smaller? Is it?
It looks like a postage stamp. I mean, it's big enough to hit, but being in that stadium right there, all you can feel wind-wise is whatever the flags are doing up top. You can't really feel it on the tee, and so it would be a terrifying shot.
I have no doubt in my mind that I would put two balls in a toucan's mouth.
Yeah, so did Will, what's his name, when I was out there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, can't remember his last name, but... I would think he hit three in, actually.
By the 13th hole, I think I would probably be Jason Gators because I would be out of there. Like, it's just, I don't, but the Sawgrass, you know, I've always wondered about Sawgrass. You've been there. I still think the best hidden treasure is TPC Deer Run, where the John Deere's played. I think it's hard because it's really in the middle of nowhere. Like, we flew into Chicago. You drive 2.5 hours to Saliva or whatever it's called, and it's like, out of Chicago, it's farmland, 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 farmland. Oh, hey, here's a golf resort, by the way. Like, it's really just in the middle of this. It's just weird to explain. However, you know, we played it in the middle of May, and I thought it's easily one of the funnest courses that I've ever played, and we played it in a downpour, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I guess my question is what could you play more valuable with $1,400 to $1,900? Bethpage Black is one that I
want to play that.
Bethpage Black is one that I would love to go play.
Yeah.
There's just so many good so many Chambers Bay. I know a lot of people don't like Chambers Bay, but for me, Chambers Bay was just a different atmosphere for me. Like, it was a different, you know, people are always like, oh, what did you get on the windmill hole? And it's like, FOH, bro, I had a good time. Like, I liked Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are just kind of like, it's just not. And I'm like, it's just a different experience. The greens, I get it. There's issues with them.
Right.
And I think if the greens were different, I think more people would go play Chambers Bay. I would probably go play it. It's the hardest walk I've ever done in my life, and there's no carts.
Yeah.
You can take a caddy, but it's like, you're still going to be, you know, having contractions after the round's over.
I don't want any caddy unless it's Michael Greller.
Greller's from there.
I know. That's why I want him.
I wonder if he'd come and caddy for us. Probably not. He'd be like, his up front, he's got
to
be too much.
I think we need to do, on a separate podcast, let's do courses. A segment about courses.
I agree. I could
get
talk.
Some feedback from people, and we'll talk through some of those. I think that'd be kind of a fun segment.
Do we really want to include our followers, though? No, I'm just kidding. So, Genesis?
Let's talk about this week. So, it's Thursday night right now.
I got to bring up the gambling odds. Hold on.
Round one is suspended due to darkness.
Yep.
But let's talk about a couple of these players in the top five or so.
Guy, Ches Reavies, 40-1.
So, we've got Patrick Cantlay, another great story with all the struggles he's been through over the past few years. Our local guy, Tony Finau.
The Fiends
right there, T1 right now with a little tidy little 66.
Give me the background on Cantlay, because I saw him in the Masters when he was an amateur in 2012.
Yeah, and he was the up-and-comer, right? Like, there was a lot of excitement around Patrick Cantlay, kind of the next big thing for the U.S.
Okay.
And I'm not familiar with all the intricacies of the struggles he's been through the last few years, but I know that they were there, and to see him win earlier this year
was
it was pretty cool to see him come back and get that game back and get
that
victory.
So here's some of the odds.
Let's hear them.
I know you love gambling.
I am a gambling man.
Mormon's the gamble, right? So Justin Thomas is 16-1. Spieth is 18-1. McIlroy's 22-1.
Is this after round one?
No, this was before tee off.
Okay.
So Phil's 25-1. DJ was 25-1.
That's shocking.
Why did we not drive to the state line?
Maybe does he play this course well? I don't. Well, he
plays here. He lives in California, doesn't? No, he plays Sherwood. My guy Ches Reavies, 40-1. Love Ches.
DJ's gonna MC this week. He's three over.
Well, I think Bubba's won here, right? He has. Bubba's 50-1. Finau 66-1. Tiger's 80-1. Backdoor Kevin Na, who always gets backdoor. Top 10 somehow, he's 90-1. But there's really nobody else that I'm really surprised DJ's 25-1. I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah.
If it were me, I probably would have taken. Usually DJ after a collapse, he usually plays well the next week. I would have taken DJ. I probably would have taken Spieth. What's Jordan right now?
Jordan is, I think he's even, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
So I would have taken Jordan, Dustin. Have five golfers, I would have taken Jordan. I would have taken Dustin. I would have taken a flyer on Bubba just because he's won here before. I probably, at 25 to 1, I probably would have taken Phil. And then I would have taken some sort of a dark horse like Ryan Moore at 90 to 1.
Or Tommy Fleetwood.
No Euros allowed. The Euros own us.
Never, guy's except hair. For last
year. Yeah, he's, no.
He is a walking
ass. By the way, how about, do you remember the, remember the clip we did where Lieutenant Dan's sitting on the boat and he barrels off of the he barrels off the ship when he's in the movie, and I was like, "This is my reaction." This is my reaction to what's his name?
I know who you're talking about. It's not.
Coming it's the to English me. Guy, yeah. Danny Willett. Danny Willett. When Danny, you know how many people got mad at us for that? They're like, "How dare you?" And I was like, "Guys, it's a joke.
It's a joke."
Trust me, I don't want Europeans winning the American majors. It's just, you don't do it. But no, all joking aside, like, it was funny to see some of the reactions that people...
It was.
They were genuinely
it's all in good fun. You know,
we lost a couple of followers, so if you guys want to come back...
We don't wish the worst on anybody. We just like to have fun. And,
unless you're Bubba.
And poke some fun at people.
So, who do you like?
So favorites? Yeah, let's wrap this up with some favorites to win this week. I think we're probably boring people to death. You know, after round one, looking at the leaderboard, I really do, and I'm going to say this being from Utah, but I really do like Finau this week. And the reason being, as you know, he recently made the switch to Ping equipment.
Oh, here we go.
And
I'm
going to get up on my soapbox here for a second.
I've still offered you to take the Cobra Challenge.
And... Dude, I just saw a stat today. He's T11 in total driving accuracy. He's first in strokes gained off the tee. He's like first or second in distance, driving distance.
He's sneaky long.
Dude, and he doesn't, I mean, he swings like a three-quarter swing.
It's crazy.
He bombs it. So if he's driving the ball that well, the biggest thing for him is, can he make those putts? He's got to be clutch from inside 10 feet this week to get it done. But I like Finau.
If he's got the stroke of Shooter McGavin, then I'll, you know, the 18th over the clown's mouth or whatever it is, then.
And then my dark pick, he's not dark because he's still close to the top of the leaderboard, but I love my guy Kevin Na.
Have you seen a golfer that gets more backdoor top tens than Kevin Na? Like,
never.
He just magically appears, like,
his name's always there, but you never see him hit a shot.
You can never get rid of him. Finau, I do like the pick. I like Ryan Moore. How is Retief Goosen tied for... I hate Goosen. Just kidding. I don't mind him. Phil's minus one. Yeah, I do. I think Finau, he's accurate off the tee. I think I agree with you. It's all just a matter if he can putt. Ryan Moore, I really do like. G-Max, someone needs to issue an Amber Alert for that dude. That guy needs to
win. Where is McDowell this week?
Oh, he's here.
Dude, he's two under.
That's what I mean. I just saw him, and I'm like, but that guy hasn't won in... years. G-Max, one of the Euro guys.
He's too busy making MasterCard commercials. That's why.
G-Max is one of the European guys that I absolutely love, though.
I do.
I don't know why, but I love G-Max.
He's got good style.
I don't like Rosie just because of his Marion win over Phil, but I respect the hell out of him. So, anyways, so we'll wrap this up, but I think next week, or 2 weeks, we'll do the podcast on courses. So anybody that has either done the Pebble Beach trip, any hidden gems, can be anything from the Coeur d'Alene course to Sawgrass to Bethpage. Give us your insights in some of the courses. Kind of give us your, I don't want to say top two or three courses you would public. They've got to be public. Not all of us can go play Pine Valley. So I would say just, you know, give us your top two or three courses that you'd go play so we can research and then we can kind of go from there. We hopefully have our third guy in charge when he comes, or hopefully have our third member of the group join us for the next cast, but he was MIA tonight, but we'll pour a monster out for him. Any final thoughts before we sign off for the night and go to bed?
No. Again, appreciative of the support, and I think we'll try, as Lou said, I think we'll try to do this maybe bi-weekly. Having this be on a Thursday night, hopefully getting released on Friday, maybe a week and a half. We'll try to do it every other Tuesday or something. Get this out to you folks, but
we definitely want to make it. We definitely want to make it more everyday golf for life. It's just hard right now because we're in Utah and we can't do anything. So sorry about that. It's 29 degrees outside.
And if you have any other ideas for podcasts, you know, we'd love to do maybe even a call-in segment.
Can we have a random follower call-in? We should.
I've got to figure out the technology.
The question is would they call and be like, we hate you guys, go away?
Most likely.
Okay.
Well, but yeah, let's get some ideas. So we'll come back in a week and a half. But that's all I've got, Lou.
Thanks all. Peace.
Okay. Bye.